Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. We're talking to Randy Croxton. He's a world-renowned architect. He operates out of New York, principally, but he works any place in the world where they need someone of his particular skills, which is to build buildings that use very little energy or can use any alternative energies. One of the things you were talking about is that building that's going up by Bryant Park. That was an old associate of yours, was that not?
Yes, that's the principal in charge is Harry Cobb of Pay and Partners. And I worked with Harry way back when I was just a young kid in New York and working for IM Pay and Partners. And we were talking about the fact that sort of lead rating system. I was one of the founders of the U.S. Green Building Council, or present at the founding and active in the founding of the U.S. Green Building Council and the AIA Committee on the Environment. And so those types of rating systems have impacted not only IMP, but across the board. They've become quality standards and references for recognizing good architecture.
You know, it was only about 8 years ago, I was at a school board meeting, and they were interviewing the architects that were going to build onto the school. And I said, what was the energy efficiency of the building? And I got to look like I was a foreigner, that was speaking a different language. They had not given it much consideration at all.
Right.
And that was only about 8 years ago.
I know. So, well, unfortunately, there's still a lot of pressure to basically do a code compliant building.
Keep the rain out.
And the irony of that is that you will see even to this day owners and developers saying, well, this building complies to every single code. You know, this thing is totally up to date and meets every single code, as if they're bragging about the building. And, you know, another way to say that is that if I built this building any worse, it would be against the law. That simple statement tells you that these are buildings that are being done at the absolute utter lowest performance threshold that is allowed by law.
Yeah.
And it points to the fact that there are just immense areas that are cost effective, that produce transformationally better buildings for people, healthier buildings, more effective buildings, buildings that sell better, better healing environments, better teaching environments. There's a staggering failure to take advantage of a quality imperative that is laying there.
And it's well known.
Well known at this point, yeah. Between the people that I came up with and the lectures and the talks and the founding, the development of the LEED standards and so forth and so on, there's a wide dispersal of, you know, the first couple of rungs on that ladder. It's really no excuse for not being able to deliver at that level.
Well, you know, the developer who was, I can't think of his name now, down in the Battery Park, what was his name? The Italian name. He did a great job. It began with an A, but in any case, do you know those people down there?
I know. We're heavily involved with the World Trade Center, and we developed the sustainable environmental performance guidelines for all of the buildings at the World Trade Center, and that was the framework that was approved by the federal government as a condition of something like $2.4 billion going into the development. And so we have been working with the Port Authority on all of the buildings that are being done there to confirm and validate the compliance of those standards, not code compliance, but a high performance environmental sustainable compliance.
When do you think, or is it already happening, that we the standards will be increased to the point where people are pretty much producing what you're producing on a regular basis?
Well, here's the dilemma on that front. The current existence of the codes have come up enormously, and I'm very delighted to see that. However, there is a need in society to deliver buildings at affordable housing, various components of building, and so forth at very formulaic, very straightforward, sort of minimal expenditure basis. There is not a construction cost penalty to implement a project that we do at an extremely high level, which everybody thinks there's a construction cost penalty, and in fact, we obviously have learned to orchestrate all costs to achieve high performance and still operate in standard budgets. It takes more time, so there's more fee involved, and that is, that is a reality. Not every project is going to have.
So the cost of actually constructing it may not be more, but the fees in doing the design and the calculations and all that may be more.
In other words, if you have a building and you're just doing you're meeting the code, you're taking standard systems, you're using, low efficiency systems, you're ordering them out of a book, and you're not taking the time to pay attention to windows, glass, glazing, shading, ceiling shapes, the ways passively that you can organize the building to really be a phenomenal building.
You have to
invest in the intelligence of the building. You can't just leave it as a dumb exercise.
In 1981, I built my own house, and I did all of the research and everything and trying to figure out what was the best way to do it. I found that it was a little bit more expensive, but the fact of the matter, it took me a lot more time. And as a result, as a builder, I probably wouldn't have built it that way I did if I was building it for a customer. And so I can understand what you're saying there. But I think a lot of the things I have in my house today are bought off a shelf. And and that makes the whole design and everything much, much more easy.
Yes. Well, all of the systems that I'm talking about are available and pretty much, direct and off the shelf. They're commercially available. And a lot of what I was talking about, which is shading and ceiling geometries and so forth, are just standard acoustical tile ceiling or sheetrock ceilings and so forth, but it's just done with a level of intelligence about direct and indirect lighting source, reduction of glare, deep daylighting, getting the daylight deep into the space, all of these dimensions, which really are directly a result of understanding which way the building is facing, what the traverse of the sun is, and what the proportions of the window and the use of the space are. And so those don't cost anything. I mean, you're still building the building out of the same materials. You're just configuring and shaping them in different ways to get a lifetime of quality and performance.
We got one more minute to go on this show. And I wanted to want you to tell me what are you doing that's really exciting right now? Is there anything underway?
Well, I have already mentioned the project with New Pulse, which is taking a very large, cumbersome, sort of impossible to renovate building. And at the end of the day, it is going to be a 100% daylit, high-performance, exquisite building, and we did it within a conventional budget. Now, that may not sound exciting.
That sounds exciting to me.
For us, it is a phenomenal achievement that we're all very excited about.
Thank you, Randy. Randy, we're coming to the close of the show, and this is Ernie Fazio. We've been talking to Randy Croxton, world famous architect, and I want to thank you all for listening. This is Long Island News Radio 103.9.